Hey guys and gals, welcome to episode 72 of our magical little podcast. Tonight we're reviewing Shazam, a movie, along with, four trailers, movie news, all the good stuff.
That's right, I'm Elijah.
I'm Connor, and we're joined by our homeless magical subway wizard who only wants us to grab his staff, James.
I'm Shazam, what's up?
Our audio engineer.
Yeah.
Let's jump into it.
Had nothing after that.
All right. Shazam 2019, directed by, what was his name? David F. Sandberg or something.
Okay, I want to see how you handle
throwing
this.
Throwing things out. Oh my God, it is David Sandberg. Sweet. When.
What? I knew it was going to get you.
That's terrible. We all have a superhero inside of us. Just a little bit of magic to bring it out when Billy Batson's case. By shouting the word Shazam, this streetwise 14-year-old foster kid can turn into an adult superhero. I hate your synopsis, IMDb. Get it
yeah,
together.
Yeah, that's trash, isn't it?
Billy Batson, foster kid, yeah, finds a wizard, mm-hmm. turns into Shazam. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of that coming-of-age story, but with like way more responsibilities dumped on you because it's a comic book movie.
Yeah, and I like how they handle it, because it's like, he's a kid, and so, yeah, this responsibility gets dumped on it, but he's just like, initially, like, I'm gonna slide on out of the way of that
one. Oh, yeah.
And that's like, yeah, of course that's what you do. That's immediately what you would do.
Oh, that's me. Oh, my God, I'm you. So sorry.
You're ruining the podcast.
I was about to yell at James. All right, but Billy Batson, played by Asher Angel, his friend Jack Dylan, what was his last name?
Grazer.
Mark Strong being the big baddie here. Digimon Hansu, I think is what we're going with.
Yep.
Playing the wizard Shazam. Zachary Levi playing adult Shazam. Anyone else you want to shout out?
Cooper Andrews is fun in this. He plays the dad.
And he also bags Marta Millens, which is like, even in comic fantasy, it's like, all right, this is...
No, he seems like a charming guy.
He has the problem, is like, he can't, he sells it.
Yeah, he probably could.
Man, good for him. Because I think, was he in Walking Dead? Is the same guy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, he was. He was in Walking Dead.
Yeah, I saw a few of his episodes, and I was like, man, I hope you go on to better things. And he is.
Nice.
Right. So, that's all the people. Everyone does a good job here. Kid actors do pretty decent. I think
yeah.
if you have, like, the kid actors are used sparingly, I think is probably a big strong suit for it. Because mm-hmm. this is a huge foster family. There's, what, five, maybe six kids?
Including Billy, six, yes.
And it really only focuses on two. And Jack Dylan Grazer, that's what we're going with.
Right.
We saw him in It, and I think he is much better here.
Oh, which one was he in It?
He was the kid with all the pills and the inhaler.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Exactly, dude. Because like, then like, I think he was one of the weaker ones in It. And honestly, I think it's just because he wasn't written very well.
He had
well.
A weaker character, for sure.
Yeah, the dude can act. I liked him a lot in this.
Yeah, he was fun. I liked the dynamic he had with him and Billy. Because the trailer, I think they set the whole, like, he was looking for a hero that was pure of heart.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit afraid that they were going to root of, like, yeah, he did bad things, but he's really just a good person. But no, these are kind of bratty kids. They kind of have that, like... bad streak in them. They're willing to like break rules, and it's like at least that fun kind of like not quite at level where they're constantly cussing at each other, but they seem like yeah, that's how you would act in middle school as a kid.
That is one thing DC is doing is there's actually a fair amount of language in this.
I think you get like the S word within like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh man, you get like the you get like the 1980s angry family intro here.
Yeah,
it was like, oof, we're just going right into the bad family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But that sets up that honestly it's not so this movie isn't so much about Billy Batson finding his way as much as it is, dude, these wizards are just jacking up. Like, this is entirely their fault.
Like, we know of two things they do and they're 0-2.
But yeah, so this Digimon Hansu, I'm just going to call him Shazam, because if I'm butchering his name, I feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Magical wizard Shazam is trying to find his champion. He's aging, and he needs someone to take over his power to keep the seven deadly sins in check.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he just kind of just picks kids.
Yeah, it's like he sends out magic. It's like he finds someone who might be pure of heart, and so all these kids end up getting pulled in, and then...
Just scars... scars them for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
He usually doesn't like them, sends them back kind of thing. And then, you know, plot develops and he has no other choice but then to choose Billy Batson.
Yeah, once again, really liked it. I liked how, once again, he's not pure of heart and per se. He's just like, listen, man, yeah, you're the guy.
It's like once again, I don't have time. We screwed up. It's on you.
Good luck. And then just like...
And that's a great setup. And then from there, it goes into, if you're a 14-year-old and you get superpowers,
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to play around with them. You're going to like see, what can I do? You're going to like try to buy beer.
Yeah, you're an adult, you have all the gags from the trailer of, I think that like that's like the cliche at this point of you go in and you're like, oh, we got to get beer type thing.
Yeah.
But from there, they actually have this really fun training montage, which is kind of hinted at in the trailers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they carried it out in this film, dude, I was giggling like a child watching like their documenting of everything.
Yeah, Jack Dylan Grazer has to be a psychopath. He's like just like forcing Billy into these situations just to see if he's going to come out of it alive. Just like, what if he didn't know? What if?
Honestly, yeah, the fact that there are scenes in here where you just go, whoa, 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 no, no, no. That's such a terrible idea because it is kids.
Yeah,
that,
they're that stupid that they would do that.
And it's great when it works. And that's one thing I want to also applaud this film. The dialogue and the delivery of Zachary Levi.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds and talks like a teenager.
Yeah, no, did you ever watch Chuck?
No, I never got into Chuck.
That's like his energy throughout the whole show, and I hadn't seen him in so long, and he just comes back and is like, that's Chuck. He's just kind of like this, like,
it's just Chuck in a muscle suit.
Yeah, because Chuck, I think it was about like he was a spy. I don't remember the plot that well. He was like a spy, but like
he's like an IT guy or something first, and he gets sucked into it.
Yeah, he was an IT guy, but then he gets like this spy data like installed into his brain or something.
Ew. Is that really what that show is about?
Yeah, so it's like he's unprepared, but he's like a super spy just because he's got the instinct of it. And so that's what the show's about. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of fun because he's like just this silly guy and forced to do these things. And so being a kid forced to be like a superhero, he just kind of slots into that super well. And he's like, yeah, he just seems like a kid the whole time, even down to his facial expressions. Super fun watching him.
From there, anything else you want to hit on? Humor? Just, I think lands essentially through and through on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Whole time. I liked it. Humor was good.
Also, we got to talk about the baddies. Mark Strong has not been a bad villain yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of an opposing, just looking dude already.
Yeah.
Add a blue scar eye to him, and he's just like, yeah, you give him what he wants.
And from there, his big baddies, his minions, I guess. There are a few scenes in here that, once again, like on the language, I think this is a much harder PG-13 than I had any expectations for.
Yeah.
Because it honestly reminds me of Raimi's Spider-Man a lot of times, of these villains are menacing. They move fast and they're violent.
Yeah. I really like villains like this. Another villain I really enjoyed was, in Spider-Man Homecoming, Vulture. Mm-hmm. Like the villain is just like, no, I came here to kill you. I'm not like really interested in messing around. I want you to die. So it's just like,
this isn't like the end of my checklist today. I got other things to do.
Yeah, you're just like something I gotta like get out of my way. And it's just like, I love that dynamic. It's like, I don't care about you. I'm not interested in you. All I really like, he wants his power, but that's like, he's not, you know, trying to like be friends with him or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like, that's always a fun dynamic whenever we see it. Wish we got more of it, but it works here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what else you got to add on this one? This is just a fun movie to me.
Yeah, I think it's fun. This is a longer film, but
yeah,
I'm not
2 hours.
Seeing a whole lot to really genuinely cut out of here. I think they could tighten up that middle part where you have the him still wanting just to be a kid but needing to kind of get responsibility. Mm-hmm. I felt that got a little flabby, but I did like the scenes they did, though. You know,
yeah,
there's nothing I'd like really want them to cut.
Yeah, there's not too much fat here, which is always my rule when it breaks 2 hours. Still looking for fat, and it's like you said, you could probably lose a minute or two here and there, but for the most part, they handle their time well.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little bit slow, like leading up to him getting his powers at some parts, but
I kind of enjoy because I thought they had to set up a lot of new characters. Because you had to, You had the intro for not even Billy Batson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to set up his own intro. And I loved his, because he's already kind of like on the run between foster homes when you first meet Billy.
Yeah.
And the way that he goes around things like, look, he's mischievous, he's clever, he's determined. I thought that's a great way of setting all of that up. It didn't actually need any monologue, anyone preaching it to you. And then whenever they brought in the crippled foster brother,
mm-hmm.
he became the expositional mouthpiece. And it just worked for this movie because he is the big comic book nerd and they're living. Oh, that's another thing I enjoyed about this film. While they're just like shamelessly plugging their own Aquaman merch and all that stuff in this film, I enjoy that they're already acknowledging this is a world with superheroes and this is how people would react. Of like, even though I can see it as kind of that more cynical side of, oh, it's Warner Brothers and DC just trying to get more money, just trying to plug their own merchandise. This kid is a fanboy. He has seen the Justice League. He aspires to be that. He has the Batarang on his desk or whatever.
I actually really enjoyed that in this one because it feels like before Marvel started making everyone do cinematic universes, like you remember like old superhero movies would have those cameos to other superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
This just kind of felt like that to me. It didn't feel like it was necessarily. Like, it is part of, I guess, the DC Cinematic Universe, but it didn't really feel like it was trying to, like, set up anything or, like, lead to something else. It felt like, hey, by the way, there's Batarangs here. Hey, people say Superman. It's, like, not too tied into the plot. Like, they're not, like, saying...
But it is just in the same world.
It's just in the same world. And I didn't know I missed that as much as I did, but I think it really plays to this film's, to its benefit. That, like, if you never see this guy next to Aquaman, it won't feel weird. Mm-hmm. Like, the way they did it, it's just like, yeah, no, he did this. And this could be a standalone movie, or it's in the cinematic universe, and it works either way. And I really wish, it's weird saying this, but Marvel could kind of learn something from DC doing this. It's like, hey, yeah, you got your world, but you don't have to, like, always be, like, considering every other piece of it. You don't have to always make sure everything weaves in.
That's already been a criticism of how nothing's really its own platform. Everything's a bridge now.
Yeah.
And, like, you just want to touch base. And it's been a criticism, but no one really has given a proper rebuttal to it. I think that's the thing, is that Warner Brothers is finally saying, like, look, no, it's easy. This. Just do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the criticism has been there, but it's very reassuring to say it is just that simple.
Yeah, like, it's... James was saying when we left the theater that he thinks DC's getting a lot better, and I have to agree with that. And I think that if DC keeps putting out films of this quality... I honestly think Marvel doesn't have much on them. Like, if they can keep, like, this, like, Aquaman, Shazam-level quality, I think, like, three more movies, Marvel keeps doing Captain Marvel-level qualities, we're going to look at DC as, like, yeah, they're kind of the better studio at the moment.
There's no denying DC's on an upswing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have two films now. I think you can finally draw a line kind of thing.
Yep.
And then it just seems like, they're finally had like one more person in the casting for Black Widow, mm-hmm. which I mean, you got David Harbour. That's cool. I'm very happy for that. But it's like, yeah, but why is it taking so long? If Warner Brothers and DC can kind of step up their production and maintain this quality, it honestly, because they're even saying like, look, we're not done with the darkness. We're not done with the gritty doom and gloom type stuff. We can do all of it. And I really trust Warner Brothers. I don't know if trust is the right word, but I can expect them to do that because like Marvel is so airtight on their in-universe logic kind of thing. And I don't think Warner Brothers cares nearly as much.
Yeah, I honestly think that Marvel after Endgame needs to let loose a little bit.
Yeah.
Because like we're not to numbers yet on this, I don't think, but honestly, like this movie made me wish I had stuck to my gut and given Captain Marvel a 6 because... Right now, these scores are going to be like close to the Captain Marvel one, but I think this one is significantly better than Captain Marvel.
It's so much more refreshing.
Yeah, this was a real, that's the perfect word. It's a breath of fresh air. Like, yeah, this was fun. I like this a lot.
And we were talking about that with Captain Marvel. It's a Marvel out of 10 type thing. It just slots like, right in. And so, you know, we've had 22 of those films.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have 23. And Warner Brothers, you know, you can, some people do enjoy Suicide Squad. I don't think we did all that much.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it.
I'm more positive on it than I should be. I can enjoy certain parts of it.
I'm more positive on Jared Leto's Joker than a lot of people are.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, because like, I don't think it's his fault. I don't think that Joker was bad. I just don't think it belonged in that movie.
Okay, so that's the thing. I do not have any malice towards Jared Leto for the performance,
mm-hmm.
but no, I hate that Joker.
See, I don't know. I think
he did what I assume the director wanted him to do. I didn't like all the news around it, the whole method acting, sending rats and all that stuff. Like,
that
look, you're pushing this way too far. This is already a non-news story anyway.
Yeah,
and like this shouldn't be your entire ad campaign.
Yeah, I will agree. I think that I think method acting news in general, the fact that I'm hearing is kind of obnoxious. I don't really like hearing about it.
Mm.
Like even because I think Shia LaBeouf's another one that does that. It's just like, dude, I think Shia LaBeouf's a good actor, but it's like I don't care.
Now the horror stories on Shia LaBeouf and Fury are worth it for me. That's why I'll still take all of those. Because the whole, like, him pulling his own tooth out, cutting his own face type stuff.
Yeah,
Didn't shower because, like, you wouldn't shower in a tank type thing. To where they put him in a hotel, like, across the street. Because no one wanted to hang out with Shia LaBeouf anymore for that entire shoot.
Yeah, and it's like, that stuff is just, I don't know. That's, like, pretension to me.
No, it absolutely is. And I think Shia LaBeouf is finding his own way. He's supposed to, wasn't his new movie about, like, his dad? Remember that?
Honey Boy or something like that.
Yeah. I think it's already doing some circuits, some festivals, and is getting positive reviews, right?
I haven't heard much about it since it was announced. I heard, yeah, I think you're right. I think it has been like made, but I haven't heard too much about how it's being received.
All right. But like, it seems like, I assume he's coming into finally his adult phase and what he's going to settle into. I think he's just more exploring then.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to hold it against him. Yeah, he was probably a dick back then, but you know.
Stole Kanye West's clothes. No, Kanye West stole his clothes.
Ugh. You get a free pass for that. That's just rude.
yeah.
Is that how it works? If Kanye West steals your clothes, you're allowed to be a dick for like one movie?
Sure. I guess. It's a weird little addendum to add in there. I don't like that a rule has to be made for when Kanye West robs you. But that's just where we are now.
So that's what we think about Shazam anyway.
You ready to throw numbers? You got anything else to add on this one?
Small nitpick, I guess. It's not like, oh, how dare this film do it. It's just more of a preference of mine that I want to see your opinion on it. I think David S. Sandberg did a lot of wire work here for the film on if these characters are flying.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like cool because you know if you don't have the budget to have like really good like there's times where they'll be floating around and they're not like zooming through the air so it's not all CG type stuff, but with the wire work it doesn't feel how I want it to feel when superheroes fly,
like with that power that like
it's they when they move it looks like they're being moved not they're moving
yeah
like they don't like lean into it as they float around. I think just like I've seen Zack Snyder do it really well for Man of Steel.
Yeah, I was actually just about to bring up Man of Steel, like how that was great.
Right. And this one, like they didn't lean into any movements. They just floated around. And, you know, if that's how you envision it in your head, that's fine. But it doesn't feel like they're moving. It just looks like they're being moved.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that they will change that for future installments because this has to get a sequel, right? This is getting well received. People are showing up for it.
I would want to see more of this. For
absolutely.
Sure.
So it's just weird. It didn't feel like a comic book movie right then. It just felt odd.
Mm-hmm.
But so you picked up on that?
Yeah, I did notice. Particularly, there was a moment where they're like where he's flying through the mall and he's going like really slow and
yes,
he's like doing a lot of like
exactly
small turns
that.
And that looked a little odd. But so yeah, I know what you were picking up. I did pick it up during the movie, but didn't take me out of it too much. For the most part, special effects are fine in this.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, because I think that they get a lot of slack on that because it's just magic. Yeah. It can look like whatever you want it to look like because it's magic. So yeah. even if it like doesn't look like how they wanted it to, there's no foundation to base it on.
Yeah, this isn't lightning. This is magic.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked they had the theme of like family. I think they handled it really well.
Better than Fast and Furious?
Well, there is no better than they didn't crack open any Coronas. How could it have a better family aspect?
That was kind of funny. Whenever he goes in for the beer and it's like, oh, you guys didn't pay for any sponsors here. Because you have like all the normal labels and like the obviously fake one.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I guess they're picking that one.
And I like how they didn't like the taste of beer because kid wouldn't like.
Yeah. It's good kid stuff, man.
Yeah. All right. Got a number?
Solid 8, at least.
Yeah, I'm with you on 8. I could see 8.5. I want to sit on 8, but honestly, you might be right with 8.5.
Yeah.
And this is me saying, like, I'm putting this at 8. Like, once again, I think Captain Marvel, I should have put at a 6. And I hate that I put it at a 7 now. Because, like, I want you to know this is a good breath of fresh air. This is a good superhero movie. Had a lot of fun with it. And this is almost just, like, so different from a lot of stuff you get. This almost feels like, and the way it handles its cinematic universe is, like, it almost feels like Deadpool or Logan in the sense is, like, yeah, there's, you know, there's, like, a greater world. You kind of have these stories, but they don't matter for this.
No, this feels like an actual comic run.
Yeah.
Of, like, look, yes, they're in the same universe. Yes, we have places to touch base on. But, you know, they're off doing their own adventures. And this is what you subscribe to. You're watching Shazam right now. You're not watching Superman. You're not watching Justice League. You're watching Shazam.
Yeah, and ironically, that lack of not trying to bridge into something else makes me just, like, passively excited for, like, huh, I want to see where they take the superhero thing now, where Marvel hasn't given me that in a while. With Marvel, every time you walk out, you know what the next movie on the docket is. You know what feel they're going for, and it's like, yeah, you know, that'll be good enough to spend your money on the ticket. That's what Marvel's been making lately. And
you actually get closure here. It's not, yeah, well, I better set my next $10 aside. It's, that was fun.
Yeah, for sure. And so yeah, I'm gonna get an 8. You give it an 8.5.
yeah.
And all right, ready to go to the trailers?
Yeah, I guess. James, what time we at?
23:23.
Oh wait, here's a segue. Speaking of the future of DC.
Speaking of the future of DC, we finally got our first look at Joker.
And what a look it is.
Right?
Yeah, this is a really cool trailer.
This is not what I expected.
This isn't?
Then again, I also have no idea what I expected.
Like, this is, like, at least tone-wise, what I thought they were going for from those, like, little clips and teases of, like, Joaquin Phoenix just standing in place, dancing back and forth. That kind of, like, sells the tone pretty well from what we got in the trailer.
I think that's the thing, is that I thought that was going to be such a standalone bit. Like, that could have actually just been Joaquin Phoenix just joking around on set. And they said, let's slow that down, put a few more layers on it, and get it as advertising, because then it can be unsettling.
Honestly, part of why I expected this tone, I don't think, given the same, like, what we've gotten so far, I don't think I'd expect this tone if it was another actor besides Joaquin Phoenix. I think Joaquin Phoenix just wants to bring this type of energy to Joker. It just seems like the vibe he is in. So, yeah, I think he's going to kill this role. If this movie's not good, it's not going to be his fault. This trailer is enough to convince me of that.
I'm already, and I know I need to pull this back before I actually sit down to watch the movie kind of thing, but it's like, this trailer gives that vibe of, even if it's a bad movie, I'm going to enjoy it for what it's attempting.
Yeah. And I could honestly match that energy with you.
Yeah. But it was pretty slow paced. There's no vada chemicals, nothing. It's shockingly grounded.
I've already seen, like, the edgy memes with it, where it's like, in the 1900s, we threw him in a vat of acid to make him insane. In the 2000s, we throw him into society. It's just like, yep, all right.
And I think that, yeah. It sucks because there's no proper rebuttal. That's what we're doing here. It's just, hey, people are jerks, and you broke this man. He had his one bad day, now he's here.
To crap on it a little bit, though, like, people are more jerkish than usual in this trailer. Like, I can believe people will mess with you on the subway. I mean, I don't think people are just, like, knocking you out just, like, twice in the same day.
That came in the same day. It was the same day, then yes, that's where I draw the line. Okay. Oh, man. You want that to happen? Like, he sits at home, he takes off all his makeup, and he has, like, somehow 3 black eyes.
He's got the crap. That kid has to be Bruce Wayne, right?
I didn't want it to be.
Why not?
Because it's such a huge age gap for when he becomes Batman.
Well, I think you were right last week. This trailer, like, drives that home of, like, I don't think this is going to be connected.
No, like, I get that, but even then, in this universe's logic, like, if that's going to be Bruce Wayne, unless they're just saying, like, no, Joker and Batman never really fought, kind of thing, that'd be weird. Because, like, Joker, I think, is usually older than Bruce Wayne, but usually only by 10 to 15 years.
Right.
Not this.
It could still work. Like, I mean, Because the problem with Joker isn't usually like, hey, Joker might kick Batman's ass. No, it's like he's doing all this nonsense.
Well, there are times that Joker is actually can hold his own.
No, yeah, that's true. Because he's got like that insanity, like the way he fights. It's kind of erratic. So like, he can be a physical opponent. I'm saying like you can make a Joker that isn't.
Right.
You can easily make Joker work without being a physical threat to Batman. So like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't break it for me. I did see that comment online, but like, just the idea of like, hey, your parents died. Let me go mess with you. Be a creepy clown outside you. So it's just like a Joker thing. I hope they don't try to make it that Joker killed his parents.
Because
the trailer kind of doesn't answer that.
That, I didn't even think of that when I was watching the trailer. But honestly, if that were the case, then I would love to see it in context. Like if he's still, like he doesn't know he's insane yet.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason he killed those people and it hasn't even like occurred to him that he's killed those people, but he still feels a need to check up on this kid.
Yeah.
Like he has like that, such a broken psyche for that. That'd be really interesting to watch. And I'd love to see this creative team do it.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, this being a standalone flick, this choosing its own origin story and like really driving home, giving the Joker a real name, all that stuff, I wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him have fun with that as long as it's good. But then beyond that, this is, the color palette is like grotesque in the best way possible.
Yeah, he's straight up creepy clown.
He's a creepy clown. And it's like you just, I don't know what you did to the film grading on this, but it can be like some ugly ass green. It can be like this weird pinkish hue type stuff. I didn't really see a normal shot in here. Everything was just off.
Yeah. I saw some people complaining that it's not the classic Joker suit. That bother you at all?
Once again, because it's so grounded. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like there's any comic book voodoo going on here.
Yeah.
That I'm okay with it. It is pretty basic, but once again, it's how he fills out a scene. The energy he brings to a room.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like Heath Ledger's suit, pretty standard suit.
Yeah.
And it's just iconic because of how he acted in the suit.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix can make it work.
All right. Well, that's a villain that's extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile. So we're going to wait and see how Joaquin Phoenix handles that.
Zac Efron. we got a trailer 2 for the Netflix movie. This one is finally... Do you think they actually took the criticism from online? Of us, like, you're glorifying him, you're romanticizing it. So they're finally like giving the evil side of it, or this is just the proper pacing for advertising in the movie?
I think it's a little of both. I think they definitely wanted to make sure in this trailer to make it clear, hey, bad guy. I think there was definitely like there's some higher up that looked at the trailer before they released it, like, okay, cool. Like, there was at least that check. But, I mean, I think this trailer was always going to be something like this. Because, I mean, it's kind of the point.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting way more of the court setting. You're having the gravity of this is the first nationally televised court case.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot more of him in jumpsuits, him in prison. A lot more of his wife officially being mistrusting. And then you get all the blurbs of, you know, Zac Efron's transformative performance, all that stuff. And, man, I buy it from what I'm seeing in this trailer.
You know what's crazy? Zac Efron, obviously, he's a pretty...
That hair?
He's a pretty built dude, but I honestly think he might have slimmed down for this and is still just, like, really filling out his filling out his clothes. Because he was huge for a while there.
He had distracting abs for Baywatch.
Yeah, and, like, just distracting size for other movies.
I didn't know he could get that big. Yeah. Like, when you see him... His frame before he started working out and is like, never would have guessed.
For sure. And so, like, in this one, he looks back to human size. So I think he might have slimmed down for this, which is like...
Yeah. You're not going to have just jacked.
Because honestly, it doesn't matter how charming you are. Girl's not going home with that monster. That's just too much to ask.
That's kind of the thing with... remember the Amityville Horror with Ryan Reynolds?
Mm-hmm.
And he still had his Blade Trinity build.
Oh yeah.
No, like, you're just too ripped for this era. You're distractingly buff for the 70s. Well, you're like distractingly cut for the 70s.
Yeah.
So I think they're making sure that he's wearing like three sweaters and vests and all that stuff to cover him up as much as possible, make him look a little bit more frumpy. But is that a word?
Frumpy, yeah.
I just no, like a word I should have used.
Sure, it's fine.
Oh no, that's how you describe an old couch, not a human being.
I've used it only to describe human beings, unfortunately. I don't know what that says about me, but
a lot.
Not to their faces, if that makes it worse.
You're a monster, possibly the king of monsters.
Ooh, this is you, man. I had nothing on this one.
Oh, okay. So they're advertising like this big 5-minute trailer for like IMAX viewings of Shazam, and I came in for like the last minute of it. So I can't actually attest if it is 5 minutes. And from what I saw, it wasn't like a clip like I thought it was going to be. I thought we were just going to get a 5-minute blurb to kind of get you pumped. This one had like way more words. You know, the whole blurbs. Like, this is going to get you pumped. This is the best monster flick ever. Carnage, chaos, explosions. Like, everyone's pulling guns on everyone. This is one of those just, like, pump your nads trailers, you know?
Yeah.
And, man, it sold me, dude.
You're in?
Yeah. Right. I still have no idea if it's going to be good, but it's going to be loud. It's going to be colorful. I assume that's what we're going for.
Yeah, I like a lot of the old Godzilla movies, and this shows us like, yeah, it's gonna be Godzilla fighting monsters. And it was like, okay, just give me that.
Yeah, but you know, with an extra $150 million to,
yeah,
just well,
to drive it home. Millie Bobby Brown's
the budget
expensive
on this? Like maybe $200 million, so an extra $198 million to to make it happen.
Hey man, you know, I'm sure it costs a little bit more than that in the Godzilla where like they shoot a black hole at him and he gets sucked up in the black hole.
I missed that one.
Oh, dude, I think it was one of the Japanese ones. It's wild.
I mean, yes, it's one of the Japanese ones. But, like, I've seen like, the doll just, like, drop-kicking things. I've seen the rubber suits. I've seen a lot. Not the black hole gun. Missed out on that.
No, you have to. It's a black hole. It can't have a gun. So you have to have a jet fly by and like, fire the black hole missile at Godzilla.
Black hole missile. Huh. Neat. Should we do that for when Godzilla comes out to start reviewing Godzilla flicks? Have Godzilla month?
Oh man, that is a fun idea.
That we're just not going to pursue.
It'd be hard, man. It'd be really hard. It's like a good. When does this come out? Let's see.
Soon.
It's May 31st. Maybe I think we can probably swing that.
Wait. Yeah, just want to get into that. Just middle of trailer talk. We're gonna start mixing up our movie reviews.
I think, yeah. I mean, we're in the busy season for trailers. Like, next week we have Hellboy. Next week we have a pretty dead one. So, you know, not the point, though. Let's.
That's what I was saying, is I just want to have this conversation right now, just for the hell of it kind of thing. We doing more throwbacks, more comparative reviews.
I would like that. I would like us to have more fun with it, because honestly, some of these weeks, like, we don't have to watch Breakthrough. We don't.
I don't want another How to Train Your Dragon 3 of us. Like, did you like it? Didn't care. Did you care? No. Well, this is usually a 20-minute segment. What do you want to do? I don't know. Anything?
Or, like, we could have weeks where we just, like, cut out news completely and just do, like, our standard review and just, like, this throwback weird one.
Throwback weird one?
Yeah.
Like, no name Christopher Reeve as Superman. What are your thoughts? Kind of thing? Or what?
Well, I mean, for example, I just purchased Bye Bye Man.
And so, dude, like, oh no, that was what part of your Christmas present I never got you.
Oh really?
So now I own Bye Bye Man for no reason.
Well, there we go. We both have a copy of Bye Bye Man.
So we're doing that now. Along with a catch-up review on Pet Sematary, right?
Sure.
All right.
Think about Pet Sematary. Isn't that the one where like the dead don't stay dead? Like they don't die completely.
The dead don't die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Murray. So, Bill Murray, Adam Driver, everyone else, zombie flick. I don't know. This kind of stuff worries me whenever your advertising is killer cast.
Yeah, killer cast, and like they're doing the dry humor thing, and dry humor is hard to sell on a trailer.
But okay, to be fair, Bill Murray and Adam Driver, really good at dry humor.
No, yeah, for sure.
But like Bill Murray was just there to keep a straight face to receive Adam Driver's lines. Mm-hmm. I felt like here, like if you're going to have this dry sense of humor and Bill Murray's just staring, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to have more to do in the movie because it's a movie. It's Bill Murray. It's what you do.
Right.
But damn it, Adam Driver was funny.
Yeah, Adam Driver's funny.
The problem is I didn't think anything else was.
Yeah, there was a lot of just like you said, the advertising is, hey, look at this actor, look at this actor, look at this actor. Here's an actor, here's an actor. They're going to be zombies, ha, ha, ha. And it's like, okay, maybe. Yeah.
Like, Adam Driver sold me. I want to see more Bill Murray. I'll watch about anything with Tom Waits in it.
Okay.
So, Tom Waits being an absolute crazy man is great. But, like, the samurai chick, I don't care. That's honestly a bit too campy for me.
Yeah, that's just the tone they're going for, though.
And yeah, like I hope they do it well. Because they had the cheesy voiceover narrator guy for this, and it's kind of like a throwback on how we used to do trailers. And yeah, if you're doing kind of that just campy schlock, sure, but it needs to be funny. It can't be lazy.
Yeah, the trailer didn't make me laugh that much. I would hope the movie has more, hits the humor a little better, but I think this is just a bad trailer move. Like, I don't think this movie lends itself to trailers.
Yeah.
So, it might be something you just have to see, and you might get disappointed by it. Or it might be great. You never know.
I'll wait for one more. If they continue this style of trailer, and it also lands flat again, then I'll officially be worried. But right now, I'm just not that interested.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Speaking of not interested, there's a lot of people not interested in Space Jam 2.
Movie news.
Yep.
I was like looking at the trailers. Like, I'm pretty sure we covered all of these. What are we going for? But yeah, LeBron James is saying there's some trouble in paradise and in Space Jam paradise. That phrase doesn't work there.
LeBron James is struggling to find cameos for Space Jam 2.
Why is that, Elijah?
So you're asking, why is LeBron James having trouble attracting talent to LA?
That's exactly what I'm... Wait, what? Why do you phrase it that way?
It's a basketball joke.
Okay. Then I'm out of my depth.
Because he can't get players to come to the Lakers and play with him. Aww. So, yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Really unfortunate. And, yeah, so the official reason for why this is happening is because that the pay isn't enough. But apparently he's paying above what you'd expect for a celebrity cameo for the type of role you would expect to be filling. Like what we got in Space Jam 1, it was Gnarls Barkley, Muggsy.
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, yeah. Muggsy.
When the world's greatest athlete, Michael Jordan, teams up with...
Okay, let's stop.
Oh, I thought we were going for it. Like, all right, I'm in for this. Oh, bit. You want to keep that going? Does it lead somewhere? Character,
yeah, I think it's just a trailer for the original Space Jam.
We're trying to sell
the original Space Jam
visual comedy on a podcast.
No, I mean, you didn't stop me, so I was just laughing, chuckling at the trailer.
Oh my god,
just falling in nostalgia. All I'm right. Sorry.
Okay, back to it. Not paying them enough,
right? And so I think like these guys make millions. I don't think they really care. They know what a cameo is in a movie.
Yeah, they can't be that much of a punk about it. Like, look, we're trying to revive this beloved movie type thing. Right. Let's have one more hurrah for a new generation. There's no way that you're going to just, like, demand, like, everyone in the league is like, no, I need more money. There's going to be one dude out there that's like, ah, Space Jam, I'm in. I love that movie.
Yeah, let's make you think that, like, because obviously he's not just going for any players. He's probably going for the top players in the league. So,
but even then, like, take top 15 players. You're saying every single one of them?
Apparently, he's having trouble at least getting the ones he wants. He hasn't specified who they are, but apparently, like, it could just be, like, people aren't liking LeBron anymore. And maybe that's just leading into, like, his movie endeavors, which that sucks for the viewer, doesn't it?
LeBron's acting? Kind of.
Let's not act like Michael Jordan was, like, bringing the acting chops in the original Space
Jam. LeBron does baseball for a bit, and then we can talk, okay?
Oh, yeah, he needs to officially retire, yeah. You think he's approached Kobe?
You what?
You think he's approached Kobe?
I'm out of my depth, dude. I don't know.
Okay.
Seriously, I do not follow basketball, man. I'm sorry. I can't do this. James, help me.
I was asking a very basic question. Do you think LeBron James has approached Kobe Bryant? I did not think that would push Connor out of his depth.
Oh, approach him for the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, stats-wise. Like, dude, I have no idea.
No, I mean, you're talking about retiring. Asked for a Kobe
you throw
cameo.
In Kobe. Okay.
I was shocked by your reaction.
Oh,
like,
no,
whoa.
I completely misunderstood. James, stand down. I don't know. I assume, like, Kobe might be, like, hiding from some other rape charge right now.
I think there's just still the one.
Just the one?
I don't think anyone's brought up another one against Kobe.
Do you need...
All the energy with Joe Biden these days.
How many does it take to not be in a kid's movie?
Oh, he just made his own, so... He's immune.
Oh, my God. He won an award for that, didn't he?
Won an Oscar.
Woo! Oscar winner Kobe Bryant. Well, now you have to have him. Damn it. I forgot about that.
Yep. He was taller than everyone else in that Oscar picture.
yeah, he was. Damn it. Huh.
Yeah.
There's no way Shaq isn't doing it.
I don't think Shaq can hoop. Shaq's gained a lot of weight.
He can still just be there, can't he?
I guess. Yeah.
Like, there's no reason for Bill Murray to be in the original one. He was just there because he's Bill Murray.
That's true. Is Kevin Hart going to be Bill Murray in this?
Oh, God, probably.
Who should be Bill Murray in this?
Bill Murray.
No, but I mean, like...
No,
we gotta have.
I mean...
Okay. All right, just too old. It's like...
Oh. That's good. Okay. Still playing golf.
All right. What's next? We got...
I really thought you had more to that. We spent a lot of time on that segment.
I have
to
more.
To say that LeBron might be a punk.
I have more, but I don't frequently feel like
it.
You
just,
like the segment.
No, rapid fire. just get it out there.
All right, James, you follow basketball at all?
A little bit.
You got any cameos you would like to see in Space Jam? Our modern day legends?
I would like to see Kobe Bryant in there.
I think Kobe would be a fun one, yeah.
If they could get Garnett in there, that'd be awesome.
Ooh. I'm standing by, like I want schools. Kevin Durant to start out on LeBron's team, then switch to play with the Monstars or whatever the equivalent is. That'd be so fun.
Yeah, bring in Larry Bird, you know, put a white guy in there.
Do you want Russell Westbrook just like raging out on everyone? Just like Hulkamania.
No, yeah, exactly. Put Russell Westbrook and got Kevin Durant also in there. Just like.
I think.
And then
like,
start seeing some sort of plot develop.
LeBron James, I think, should probably just like settle for younger players if people are really being punks about it. Like Joel Embiid, he's like an all star and he's like super fun. I think he'd be fun on camera.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or maybe just get Chance the Rapper for some reason. He plays basketball. Obama.
Why not?
He plays ball. You want an Obama basketball?
No, because Chance, you need to get him number 3 jersey, and it'll be cute.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, but Obama, I guess you get him 44. That's fine. Never mind, I'm back on board.
All right. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy to turn down Obama. Yeah. If he asks, he's just in the movie, you know?
No, I think the best Obama cameo is that, man... There's no way you wouldn't get grilled on Twitter for it. But you just have, like, Obama and, like, Bush just kind of one-on-one against each other in the background at one of the parks. Just kind of, like, going back and forth.
Dude, I think we need that, man.
You know?
Yeah, just simple, just presence, playing a game.
Like, I think, like, all the ex-presidents now kind of have a decent energy. Except Jimmy Carter, I guess, doesn't want anyone to BS, so he doesn't show up to these events. But, like, everyone else is kind of, like, they're civil with each other. Like,
yeah,
the whole,
no, like, I have no doubt that Bush and Obama would play basketball just for a fun cameo in a kid's movie.
Yeah, then there's the always, every time Bush and the Bush family and Obama get together, like, Bush always gives Michelle Obama a piece of candy. It's like they've started this, like, little tradition. Like, so there's, like, cute stuff like that. So that'd be fun. Let's see, what's next? We got... Captain Marvel.
Oof. Big money news.
Yeah.
Money news for Captain Marvel. Remember that boycott?
Yeah. You know, Disney's taking it on the chin for that one.
That backlash.
You can't mess with the internet, you know?
Almost put him down because they just got hit with that billion so quickly.
Yeah, they've just crossed a billion, which is, dang. Imagine where they would have been without that boycott.
Right.
Just really, really have to eat it now.
Yeah.
So yeah, Captain Marvel crosses $1 billion extremely quick. And Connor, you're saying they're going to cross Black Panther pretty soon here.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way this is not going to outpace Black Panther.
Yeah, definitely. With this momentum, I could easily see it happening.
Because we're looking at the numbers on that one. Black Panther U.S. really carried that. Because we actually outpaced worldwide or everywhere else, foreign box office.
Yeah, it was like 700 million worldwide, 650 million. I mean, 700 million domestic, 650 million worldwide.
And we haven't even crossed 400 million domestic for Captain Marvel yet.
350 domestic, 650 worldwide. So it's like, rest of the world really likes this movie. You think the reason, like, I think the bigger spectacle movies do better worldwide?
This one actually, because I think we're applauding that, this is a much more complicated plot than your average Marvel movie. So the different sides on an actual, like, intergalactic war, I think is more appealing elsewhere. I think that a lot of the other people are tired of such a basic good person, bad person, punch each other in the face movie.
I think you hit it on the head with the space tie-in. Yeah. I think that does a lot better in, like, the China market, the whole sci-fi element. Like, Villain was a smash hit. And not Villain. Venom was a smash hit in China. And it's just because...
No. That...
I think just monster sci-fi movie. I think that's all it... I literally think that is all it takes.
Like, it has to be, but why Venom, though? It's just...
Makes no sense. I don't know. Because it's not even that spectacular once you see it. But, you know, you see a monster in a trailer. I think that gets there... I think that gets him in the seats. I think Captain Marvel, the trailer had space in it. You know,
that actually might be worth looking into. Because is Venom that intriguing of a character design? Because I think, what was his name? Was it Havoc?
Havoc.
What was the bad?
Carnage?
Carnage is for the sequel.
I can't remember his name.
But if they were like pushing him in the trailer for the foreign markets, I can buy that. Because that's a fun creature design.
Yeah.
That'd probably get butts in seats, right?
Yeah, I that's the only thing that makes sense for Venom crushing as hard as it did. So I think, like, yeah.
Unless they just love Tom Hardy, and I never noticed.
I mean, he's a good guy to love. I don't know why they'd... Why, though?
So anyway, space stuff does well over there. Captain Marvel doing well.
Captain Marvel killing it, crushing it. So back to our point of, like, talking about Marvel needing to change their things up for... us to be more interested in it. I don't think they do. Like, I don't think it matters. Like, if they could just, like, capitalize, like, because this is probably gonna make more than Black Panther. The sequel, you'd expect to rake in a lot of money. Black Panther 2 is definitely gonna rake in a lot of money. You know, when they have cash cows like this, Avengers Endgame is about to cross a billion easily.
That's gonna be multi-billion.
Did Infinity War break too?
I think so.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this is better than Infinity War Endgame.
I genuinely don't know. This last trailer really, really got me excited. The little one-liner Thanos had was great. Do you remember what it was?
No.
Did you? Oh, you're keeping away from it, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, well, then I'll set it aside for you. Sorry. but they're finally getting me interested because, like, the first two, it was like everyone was like, woe is me, just being sad. Like, I know it's not going to be that for 3 hours, but right. Like either they're just really keeping everything so close to the chest and it's just going to melt my face when I watch it. But until then, I won't know.
Right.
So I have nothing to base it on. So this honestly could just get weird or could be a letdown.
I'd be surprised if it was a letdown. The only thing that, like, the main thing I'm worried about that would let me down is if Captain Marvel kills Thanos. That would be super disappointing for me.
Dude, from what I understand, I don't think the Russo brothers wanted Captain Marvel in this. I think they got stronger. Like, they had to rewrite. Like, they had a proper ending that would fit for what they have been setting up. Mm-hmm. So what they've been setting up, from what I understand, is not going to happen the way they want it to.
If Captain Marvel finishes Thanos, that would be
to be mentally prepared.
That's why I'm saying it, because I'm really worried about it. The way things are going, I will be so disappointed because we all know how it should go.
Well, it should be a climactic. Do you actually think they're going to kill Thanos?
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe. I don't think Thanos is a villain. A villain this size, I don't think you should keep them around. I don't think you should keep them in universe.
And that, I guess that is just the difference between comics and movies.
Yeah.
We're not going to circle. We don't have time to circle back around to Thanos.
Exactly.
So, okay. A more punctuation mark, proper bookend for this, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the correct thing to do, is to kill Thanos.
Yeah.
But the way I think this should go is that there's a climactic battle towards the end. You know, Yeah, everyone's fighting it out. Thanos gets the other hand. It looks like he's going to win. Then boom, Killmonger. Right hook. Thanos goes down. Grabs the Infinity Gauntlet. Saves the day.
He just swoops in, gets him in the liver. Thanos just buckles.
Killmonger brings everyone that was snapped away back just to get a second chance at T'Challa. Black Panther 2. Is this your king?
No, that actually happens in the first 5 minutes. And then Avengers Endgame turns to dust. Black Panther 2, and it just kicks off right there.
That's how you get a 10, baby. That's how you do it.
You know, I would give you some points for such a bold vision.
So hopping off that, what do you think about Killmonger? Is he coming back for Black Panther 2? I want an official stand on the podcast. Because I say yes. I think he's going to come back.
Probably.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, one, I just know so little about Black Panther on his comic book origins.
Mm-hmm. But in the comics, Killmonger's not the biggest.
Right. So it's like, I assume that there's other villains to pull from. I assume he has his own rogues gallery.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if Black Panther comics skyrocketed since this movie has been out.
Killmonger's got his own comic now.
Exactly, is what I'm getting at. Like, if they just made Killmonger his proper Joker, essentially, then it's like, well, I guess T'Challa had a change of heart. And he's like, look, man, I brought you back, and I just want you to know you're right. We're reaching out. We're expanding. And then he's like, but you're not taking over? Yeah. And if you have, like, almost that... Would you take, like, a Goku-Vegeta dynamic, or do you actually want him to still be
the
antagonist?
That's what I want, Goku-Vegeta. Because, like, even... After Goku beats Vegeta in Namek, Vegeta's not exactly his best friend. Like, we still have that time where, like, Vegeta's doing his own thing. He just, like, happens to be there. He's like, and I'll kill you if you get my word, but you kind of beat me last time, so I'm gonna...
But I'm still licking my wounds over here, so... Yeah.
So...
I could definitely see that, because I can't... As completely slip my mind. Who played Killmonger?
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. Has he expressed interest in returning to the role, like, if it were given to him?
I think he has kind of floated, like, yeah, I wouldn't mind coming back.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've officially confirmed that he is. But I think he'd come. Because honestly, like, Black Panther I thought was so interesting, and there's so much fun you could have there, that I wouldn't even mind, like, more, like, Black Panther having its own thing. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, I wouldn't mind if you wanted to have, like, okay, you have the Black Panther superhero movie, then you do, like, the straight up, no, one guy goes in as a spy movie. You could have, like, Lupita Nyong'o have a spy movie.
Oh, you could have, like, the Bat family.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think they have an interesting enough dynamic that you could do enough interesting things there. Like, but this is me assuming that Marvel does what I've always wanted them to do, which they haven't really done yet, and have different genres in this universe.
No, they have to do that for the next phase.
And I'm saying, if they go into that, then I think, yeah, Black Panther has enough characters that we've got from them that you could have, like, T'Challa, that's your superhero movie. Lupita Nyong'o, she goes, infiltrates things and be a spy. You could have her be James Bond.
And honestly, if you have her with Killmonger, if they form this unsteady alliance, because he's like, nah, I need to get back out in the world and right some wrongs kind of stuff.
Hobbs and Shaw, who? We got. And then you could have, you already have the, QM in Shuri.
Well, that goes to, if they do Black Panther more James Bond route, she would always be there, making the gadgets kind of thing. Right. But what I'm getting at is why I'm so hesitant is their roster is already so dense that while I would love everyone to have their own kind of branching franchises within themselves, because if you're going to have like three Black Panther movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would absolutely, and then you're kind of done with that character. I really wouldn't mind also have a Killmonger movie and what is Lupita Nyong'o's
character? Can I remember her character?
Okay, yeah, like her own movie type stuff within that to kind of stretch out that lore, that side of things.
Yeah,
but would you, if you got that spy thriller and the budget is 20 million. You would still be on board.
That's what I want. Because, like, that's the only way I think this is sustainable is that you go into these different things and it's like, all right, if you want to have more Black Panther movies, then, you don't have to stick to two Marvel movies a year because they don't have to be these giant spectacles. You'd be like, okay, here's like a.
Listen, we're already way more than two a year, though.
Are we way more than two a year?
I kind of think so. I think we're up to like maybe 4 or 5.
Marvel movies?
I think so. Especially with them owning Fox now.
Oh, well, if you're counting that. I don't know. I think there's room for that. I think Ant-Man movies should probably be around that 20 million mark. Make them
we
heist.
Had, what, finally Avengers, get a heist movie. Ant-Man was Thor also that same year?
Was Oh, I think it was, yeah. Because Thor was like right before. Hmm. Yeah, you might be right. But yeah, this is all like, I don't see Disney doing these things because they found their formula. I don't think they're going to break from it until it stops working for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, Thor's 2017.
Okay.
I think they should. I think they should experiment with that. I hope that's what Black Widow is. Do we know what the budget is on that yet?
I haven't seen any.
Because I'd be shocked if that's a $150 million movie.
Man, I would not put it past them.
But then that's not... How would you... That would be a weird spy throw.
What I'm hoping is Winter Soldier, right? You hope it keeps that Winter Soldier energy?
Oh, if they actually bring Bucky and finally give him some freaking screen time as Winter Soldier, yes. And then you can have, yeah, like kind of behind enemy lines, stuck, fight your way out type thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're having Black Widow be the name, I assume it's going to be a espionage spy. In which case, if that's what's happening, I don't know why you would need $150 million unless you're trying to make it a huge explosive thing, which is not what I want, because we get that with every other film.
It's just I don't trust Disney.
Anyway.
In T way.
I digress.
All right. So superheroes fight for justice.
What? Oh, Department of Justice. Good God.
Department of Justice warns the Academy against suppressing competition in Oscar awards. This is in response to Steven Spielberg outwardly just trying to change the rules to shut out Netflix. And Department of Justice kind of reminds them what antitrust laws are. It's like, hey, you're kind of colluding with your competitors to shut out another competitor from entering the market. It's like, it's not cool. Shouldn't do that.
So you have the DOJ officially saying, hey, Spielberg, party foul.
Yeah. And I wonder how they're going to respond. Cause
do you think he would actually fight this?
I think he would, because the Department of Justice kind of just put a feeler out there like, hey, we're watching, maybe don't do this. But antitrust laws aren't really implemented that much anymore. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the Academy would like throw it out there and see like if the Department of Justice tries to actually move on it. Because I was surprised.
Do you think they're getting involved because of how big Disney's getting? They're like, look, we're going to have to start paying attention to things now. This might be a good place to.
I definitely think that's part of it because Disney's already pushing the line. Like they made them sell like Fox's sports networks because Disney already owns ESPN.
Right.
And they had to get rid of ABC Family because they have Fox now. But it's like, that's just kind of like not really.
But even still kind of bordering on Hulu. And is that because like it's streaming, so it's still kind of different type thing or.
Yeah. And I think just in general, we're in a space where it's like our laws have to catch up to like the shifting technology and atmosphere and all this media stuff, because it's changing really quickly.
Yeah, but I think companies are moving so much quicker that it... Do we get laws in place where it's like, hey, I know you've been doing it, but now it's illegal, so you can't? Or do they have to work around what companies have accomplished before the laws were set in place?
Unfortunately, I think the reality of the situation is, like, you got in the EU, the Article 13, or got changed to Article 17 or whatever, where it's like, you're going to have people making laws based off, like, oh, so we're just saying that websites should be responsible for making sure there's no copyrighted material in there?
So like, we don't understand it, so we're just going to put it on you.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds good. We should protect copyrights. Yeah, pass that. But they're just like, no, that's not the way you want to do it. Unfortunately, with our current, I'm talking about America, with our current like Congress and like just their age, and like I don't think they're too in touch with the pulse of that kind of stuff. I don't think we even have the best people to implement laws, but I do think it is necessary. And I think the Department of Justice is just like, hey, we have to start looking at this kind of stuff now or things could get bad. Because I would argue just this Disney-Fox deal going through is anti-competitive. I think we're already there because Disney's already shown that they're willing to bully theaters. So that kind of stuff is, yeah. So this is interesting. I'm really interested to see where this goes.
Interesting to talk about it for 59 hours. Nailed that segue. AMC, the madmen that they are.
The absolute madmen.
Are going for it. The Thanos Saga Marathon.
Yep.
22 films leading up to Endgame. All of them back to back 59 hours, excluding the 3-hour endgame. So break 60 hours.
Yep.
We doing it?
No.
It's not even 3 days. What's your problem?
I can't. Like, I mean, like I said, I have the like AMC like app thing. So if that counts as a ticket, I would probably just like,
God, no.
It won't. But if that's the only way I'm thinking of how I would do that, buy the ticket and just pop in and out as I
watch
go about
Iron Man
my
1,
life.
Go have some breakfast, maybe come back from Incredible Hulk just to see if it really was that bad. Think, it's still a totally average film.
Yeah. I think that's
they
how
start
I would treat
Iron
it.
Man 2, like, not feeling it. Come back for the first Avengers.
Yeah.
And the middle part of Captain America.
I still have a life, so go see my mom, you know. Go hang out, maybe go get a drink.
Go to work, forget about it, come run back for like Guardians of the Galaxy, like, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah. So I think that's the only way I would consider it. Feel free though, if you want to take that hit for the pot. But if you do this, you're going to hate Endgame. Like, I don't see how you wouldn't.
Yeah, that is a thing in itself. This really is just, it's just publicity, right?
I think they're going to, if they dedicate one house in the theater for it, yeah, they're going to sell it out. But yeah, it's pretty much just for the point of doing it.
But are they going to have a 24-hour movie theater while it's happening? Are they going to like, look, we're closing down, guys, so you get this one. You gotta like watch the merchandise, you know?
I mean, it's not hard to like I work at a pizza place. We'd have overnight things and just like, hey, we're like 2 weeks out. It's like, hey, we're scheduling for this. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you
okay,
willing?
Okay. Just,
yeah. I don't think that's too hard to swing.
All right. You have to get some free food, right? Well, how much do the tickets cost? This is my story. Never mind. But anyway, yeah, it's like AMC. There's only like a few places doing it. It's essentially like California, New York type thing. Mm-hmm. Except Alamo Drafthouse.
Ooh.
Right? Ooh. So I was thinking we bump on down to Texas.
For 3 days for this?
Right. So we don't have to get a hotel because we're just going to be in the theater.
Dude, I promise you if we go to Texas for 3 days, I'm doing way funner stuff than this.
That is...
I promise
That's
you,
true.
I will be leaving you in that theater
you will.
For significant periods of time.
So here's the thing. Alamo Drafthouse, not exclusively in Dallas.
Okay.
Or Austin. Is it Austin?
I think there is one in Austin.
It's the Drafthouse in New York. I felt so, like, personally offended. I had no idea this was a chain. I thought this was just, like, one amazing theater that does all this weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, learning so much today. But it's an option if you live there and you listen to this podcast for some reason.
I would highly recommend you don't, but you listen to this podcast, so you already don't really value
any time
or
at
entertainment.
All.
So I'm going to do your thing.
Yeah. Is that news?
Unless you want to touch on Suicide Squad? Yeah, that's it.
Not really. Kind of. Let's do an update.
Yeah, Viola Davis is officially confirmed for Suicide Squad, and Idris Elba is no longer going to be playing Deadshot. He is now being moved to a new character. You read some DC comics, right?
Some.
Are you a fan of new character? What's his lore?
I have no joke. I got nothing for you.
All right, yeah, so officially a sequel at this point, right?
So that was the thing that bugged me. Is that, like, you already had the official announcement of this being a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And you also had the official announcement of him being Deadshot. And then you have, like, no, we're changing it around. He's going to be something else. But then in the headline, they're calling it a sequel. So it's like, dude, pick a lane. Just,
I think at this point, it's just like, it just can't be a reboot. Like, I went off about this last week. It just can't be.
I really enjoyed the idea of it being a reboot because then it's like James Gunn's really breaking new ground on how we view cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Of like just the whole reuse of characters and the reinterpretation of a film that came out so recently from the same, you know, production company under like, of not like Amazing Spider-Man, of where they make it just to hold on to an IP type mm-hmm. thing. Of like the, no, we actually want to do it right and we weren't satisfied with that. So yeah. We're trying again. I think that's really interesting. And I guess someone got cold feet or finally woke up. It's like, no, we just can't.
I don't know. I think maybe that whole reboot thing was just like someone said something and then like a bunch of headlines ran with it. It's like they said reboot. And the only thing that made it seem like a reboot was that they said it. Like every
well,
other
I thought
bit
it was
of
officially confirmed. It's called The Suicide Squad.
No, yeah, that came out, but like literally that was the only thing that seemed rebootish that they said, hey, it's a reboot, it's called The Suicide Squad.
Dude,
every
if you
other
have
bit
Suicide
of news
Squad and The Suicide Squad, then that's just a terrible idea in itself if it's going to be a sequel.
I can agree with that.
Okay.
It just seems like every other bit of news was pointing towards it not being a reboot. Like, every other thing was like, oh, we wanted to get Will Smith back, but we couldn't get the scheduling, which shifting Idris Elba to Deadshot makes it seem like that's more true. It's not just like an excuse to get rid of Will Smith. It seems like, yeah, they would like Will Smith to come back at some point. And it's just like, with all this happening, it's like, yeah, you guys doing a sequel? And that reboot thing was like, I don't know, a feeler? I don't know.
You think James Gunn has like five scripts laying around? They're just seeing which one could work.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that dude just writes great scripts in his spare time.
He's actually, there's a, you ever see Belko Experiment?
No, I didn't.
Okay. But yeah, I want to know if it was like any legality thing in there. If like Will Smith is like, no, I'm contractually obligated for like three films as this character. Like, even though I'm busy, you can't. And they're like just trying to cover that up type thing.
I don't know. I feel like someone like Will Smith, the moment they even suggested that, his lawyer would have been like, stop right there. Like, I don't even think Will Smith had to stress for a second. I think like they would have like definitely caught that before. Like, I don't think there's a background fight going on.
I don't think it's a fight. I think it was just like, hey, Will Smith, can you do it? Sorry, I already signed on to this kind of thing. Y'all gave me this kind of window, so I'm doing that.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, well, we're going to get Idris Elba. It's like, no. I signed up for three films. I still want it.
Okay.
And they're just like, oh, well, he called that.
Called our bluff.
I think it's the exact same. Like, because we're talking about the same production company that, you know, did the mustache. So it's like, I just don't trust them to really read everything right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. That was episode 72 of Feels on Reels. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, please subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll give you a shout out. Read it out loud next episode. Also, please hit us up with any questions, comments, concerns, tips, tricks, or hate mail, or tweet us at Feeling Reels.
James, I haven't checked up with you in a while. Do we have any reviews?
We don't.
According to your iTunes. What are you doing over there?
Just reading Wikipedia about cities.
About cities?
Yeah.
You moving on us?
No, I'm just...
Which city?
Broken Arrow.
Or like just the definition of city in the Wikipedia page.
What even is a city?
No, look at the history.
What's between a city and a town?
Like cities in Oklahoma, like Broken Arrow and stuff like that.
Is it? Like, is there an actual cutoff?
That's my guess. I don't know.
When does a town become a town? Or like, when does a settlement become?
There is a straight up number for when a town becomes a town.
It's not. It's not about like if you have like a school system or a hospital or some sort of fire department. It's just
I think it's like if you're a number of people. I think like if you have a certain number, you have the right to like fill out the paperwork and become it. Because there was that. You ever see Wild
there
Country?
There is paperwork.
Wild Country on Netflix.
No, I've been meaning to.
Yeah, that's what they did. They all moved to like this was like an established kind of like neighborhood, but all this cult moved there, and then they shipped in homeless people to get the population to a certain number, and then they just like, hey, this is a town, and you're the mayor, and we run it. And so that's how they kind of like took over this place.
So, when do you need your own police? Do you have to police yourself? Did some other districts to like, oh, we're responsible for that now, and then they just didn't care, and that's why we have this documentary.
No idea.
Oh,
yeah.
Asking way too many questions.
Yeah.
This is already fascinating, though.
Out of my element.
This is no longer a movie podcast. I just want to know about the legalities of townships.
This is a law podcast.
Join us next week for our review of Hellboy, along with staying up to date.
Wait, did James actually pick the reviews?
That's come on, you know.
Huh?
You know this.
What do you got?
There's no
review. What is this? Thotco?
There's no review. It's
what is that?
The last one was September 29th, 2018 by Mr. G. Ray.
No, that was the first one. We haven't read all these. What is that? James, what are you doing?
We've had these. These are
how many have we read on the podcast?
All
maybe
five
three?
Or six?
No. Oh.
Yeah. It's the same ones.
God, I've got to stop drinking so much. All right.
All right, yeah.
All right. Hey, what's happening next week?
Hellboy.
Sweet.
Bye, guys.